upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Shift the gears with DD Speed Shop. We're back again with tales from the garage where the hot rods rain. Dan and Murr, they're the wrench-turning crew. With Denny by their side, the podcast begins. They're talking classic hot rods and new cars too. Life hacks and lifestyle and a little YouTube. It's DD Speed Shop, the podcast.
I also, if you guys feel like you're not, you don't have enough time today, I do have questions from Facebook.
People like wrote in questions, you mean?
They did.
Oh, we should actually answer some of those because people did.
What are they? Or is it going to be a surprise?
I'll just read them out and you'll have surprise, to figure
man.
It out.
It's a surprise. Did you get your can opener yet?
Maybe.
And?
I haven't used it yet.
Whenever you're ready.
Dan here. DD podcast with Murr and Danny behind the camera, as per always. We're back at it, even though I think I'm probably wearing...
You didn't introduce Steve.
Oh, Pod Dog Steve is here. Hopefully he's good today. I think I'm wearing the same clothes I was wearing the other day, but they're washed. It is, in fact, another day.
Hard to tell.
Actually, I was talking to Danny. I want to take this one in today. It's my favorite shirt. I'm going to see if we can take it somewhere and like patch it and sew some new
That's
buttons on.
That's the one that they gave me for Christmas how many years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago. But it's my favorite one.
I looked online today to see if they had like a Mach 2 version of it or something, and they don't. So
no, they don't.
So the last one, Murray, the best can opener ever. So I bought one. I bought two. Just so, you know, there you go. Amazon got my $14. It was 20% off. It's actually $20 now.
Really?
Inflation. Can you believe that?
Inflation.
So I got one. I'm going to try that out.
All right. So the next time, we'll have the results and see if you concur.
Yeah, I'm going to get into my can of beans.
We should actually next time bring out different cans and have a regular can opener and the fancy can opener.
A
and
can
do like
opener.
A real experiment.
Or like a relay or a race.
Yeah. A race, a can opener race.
The prize is whatever's in the can.
Whatever's in the can.
I got dibs on the corn. So we actually, so we did the last podcast there and we ran out of time. Believe it or not, Murr had more to talk about, which is shocking.
Never would have guessed.
But we got all sorts of stuff to go over, but one thing I want to start off with, people have asked me since day one, and I've addressed in a few different things and kind of here and there, and every time we go to any event and all that, it's how to kind of get started on YouTube and what it's all about and kind of junk like that. So I thought we could, you're always asking questions about it, so you're easy to...
Yeah, I don't know nothing.
So I don't know nothing about it. It makes no sense. I don't understand it. But I will say, anybody can do it. I've said that 1,000 times before. The thing is...
Even Mortsky.
Even Mortsky can do
even
it.
Even Mortsky.
Ugh. It's like that... what was that on Corner Gas? Every time they mentioned dog beer, they all spit or something like that.
Oh, yeah, to the...
Mortsky. we love Mortsky. We just hate him. So, I mean, anybody can do it. I mean, if you have a cell phone, and I think you can do it all on your cell phone. You can film it, you can edit it, you can upload it. I think you can do every single thing. But computer makes it easier for setting some of the fine-tuning stuff up on YouTube. But, I mean, do that or start with, like, short stuff, shorts, Instagram reels, TikToks, whatever it may be. I don't understand that stuff. What I do, I think, is more longer format kind of stuff. Steve, quit licking your stuff there. But
Stephen is not a professional today.
Hopefully he's out of frame.
He's out of frame.
Nobody wants to watch
Nobody
that.
Nobody needs to see that. No.
So I think that's the thing. At the end of the day, your first 50 videos are probably going to be terrible. The only people who are going to watch is your family and friends and stuff like that, and that's just how it's going to be. I feel like when I got into it, it's been 4 or 5 years now. 4 or 5 years ago, it was like kind of really different. I think not a lot, you know, you're like, you're a YouTuber, which I never really felt like we were YouTubers. But now, I mean, everybody and their dog is doing it. I mean, all the Richard Rollins and the TV guys, and everybody has a YouTube channel. And I think TV is dying, and that's where people are going. So we fluked it. And I will say, I wish I started earlier. Even though I feel like we're ahead of the game, I wish we started, 3, 4, 5 years before that.
Best time to plant a tree, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're at all thinking about it, at like this much, just do it. Just start going. And at the end of the day, so my setup now, I should have brought it out. It's super simple. I buy whatever the newest GoPro is, I buy it, which is $600 once a year. I have a little case for it with a wireless mic and a handheld thing to hold it and a tripod. I think $1,000, $1,200 is like all you need. That's it.
And you don't have to upgrade your GoPro every year.
I'm hard on gear, so I typically tend to break them. And I have my own thoughts on GoPro, but I hate them. But the newest one seems like it's the best pile that you can buy. It's ultimately where I'm at.
If you're filming flowers, it's probably not as difficult on the equipment welding. And
I could be, I mean, like, you know, welding junk and, you know, metal spatter. I mean, like, you know, pull the battery on, it's like they're like a magnet, it's just furry, and I'm like, oh, it can't be good for things. But
well, I'm constantly amazed when I look at the videos, because I have to by law, it's your son does it, you have to look. But I look at it, and sometimes you click on it, and you see the old ones, and you think, well, that was just like, that must have been a whole year and a half ago. No, it was 3.5 years ago.
Yeah,
like, it just amazes me, like, how many, you know, what you've done, how many things have come along, and I go, and the fact that people, I still can't get over this, like, conceivably, somebody could recognize me from being on your YouTube in Australia. Like, never been to Australia, would love to, never going to happen, but the number of people that comment from all over the world about things, I just, it shocks me.
Well, it's very strange, and you have that, like, imposter syndrome or whatever, because we'll go somewhere, and I feel like, so like we go to Power Tour, and people come up to us all the time, and they're, you know, we had like a lineup of people, like a lineup to meet me. And I'm like, guys, no need for this. Go get your candy apple. But you know, people come up and they, you know, you shake their hand, go, hi, you know, Dan, nice to meet you. Like, I know who you are. And I'm like, and I feel like the a-hole because I'm introducing myself. I'm like, well, what are you going to be? Obviously, you know me. Like, you can't say that. Like, that's just embarrassing. Clearly, it's DD Speed Shop. Like, you know, I mean, it's just, I'm just a regular dude like the rest of you guys out there watching. Zero special.
Yeah.
I mean, you can attest to that.
Yeah.
I mean,
we still go to Canadian Tire looking like garbage. That's my favorite. As I ran into somebody at the mall, I was just going to get my nails done, and I did not look good at all. I was in, like, dirty hoodie, dirty pants, hair unwashed. Whoa, Queen Dee Dee's Beach Shop? I'm like, oh, no.
But it's so easy.
And they were with their kid, and we had a lovely conversation, and it was very nice.
So that part of it's aside, that part's great and all those things, and I guess that's where...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're getting into YouTube, I think you're doing it for the wrong reason, to get recognized. That was not the reason. I don't even know why we started, but here we are now.
It was to keep track of all the cars.
When we started dating,
you would tell me about these cars, and I don't know anything. So I'd be like, well, do you have any pictures? Do you have this? And you're like, no.
Why would I have that?
I have the car. It's there.
And so then that's why Merv was like, well, do Google Photos. And then you're like, I'll do Instagram. And then...
And people asked. Yeah, I guess that was... We got... I mean, it took a long... It's been a long road, I guess, you think about it now. But I guess you get in because you genuinely enjoy it. You'll do a lot better if you're trying to get in for that quick hit of you know, money or
notoriety,
whatever it may be. So that'll be my first thing. People ask all the time, can I get a shout out and this and that? I always tell everybody the same thing now. You know, talk to me after 100 videos. I think after 100, and the amount of people that say that don't come back because yeah. they didn't do 100 videos. I mean, everybody wants to do 2 videos and get a shout out and stuff like that, which I'm not against. I'd like to help everybody out, but you have that, like, if I just recommend someone all the time, then it loses credibility anyways.
It doesn't matter anymore.
No. Yeah, no, exactly.
If everybody's important, nothing's important.
And I know for myself, if I go watch someone's video, and I've done it many times, there's been smaller channels I've watched, I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. And then they don't put another one out, or it's every 3 months they put a video out or something like that. You're like, eh, it's hard to support the guy. You got to kind of stick with it and all that and get used to looking like an idiot and failing and having bad lighting and whatever it may be, you know. Just like Murr was panicked about this podcast. But it goes fast because we're on number 5, right?
Yeah.
4 or 5?
Yeah.
And the first one, he was, oh, it's going to be bad and this panicked and this and that. Meanwhile, this one was, he's like, I thought we were doing it tomorrow. I guess we'll just have to wing it, he said. Like, it's amazing how fast you get comfortable just BSing around with the camera and kind of go from there. So I guess my advice would be get after it. Just do it. Except you're going to look dumb. You know, carry on. The one thing that made my life a lot easier is actually having Danny hold the camera or Murr or whoever it is. So you feel like you're talking to someone for the first little bit. Because when you're in the garage, you're just talking to the camera by yourself and trying to carry on a conversation. You feel like you belong in the loony bin.
I remember you saying that when you were doing that. He says, I'm in the driveway with the GoPro pointed at myself. He said, I feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
Kids go by on their bike. Look at the funny man. What's he doing?
It's ridiculous. So you got to get past that, but that takes a little bit. I mean, you got to be a certain kind of person, yeah. I think, anyways, to do it. And then what we're working on now is trying to do it in public. Filming yourself in public with other people around is a whole other...
You feel gross.
You feel gross.
In all honesty, like, there is a very big stigma around YouTubers and, like, so even, like, from people that do television or just people on the internet in general, like, influencers in the wild. Like, I mean, we make fun of it ourselves,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there is kind of, like, calibers or levels of it, and we are always super conscientious of, like, we don't want to turn into the gross people that are filming everything all the time because we really appreciate relationships that we're making with people, and, like, it doesn't... When you first meet somebody and you have a camera in their face... All the genuineness of that interaction is gone, and we hate that.
Yeah, I don't film friends and crap like that. But if we're doing our own thing, I film everything now. And you just kind of get used to it. And, you know, if I see someone else filming now, I understand. I'm like, oh, that's what you got to do. Because you've seen the finished product. And it's like, you see the end video. You're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Then you got to watch. Like, like right now is the Cleus and Cars or whatever it is. He's doing a big race and stuff. So all the YouTubers are filming stuff and this and that. And you watch the end product. But then you watch, like, on Instagram, people are just filming, and there's people everywhere walking through shots, this and that, you know, meeting people, line up, selling T-shirts. You're like, hey, you just got to force your way through it and
it's a different set of skills. That's what it is. It's
something.
You know, for people saying, well, here's what I had, nice macaroni and cheese for lunch today. I kind of say, but people, if you do that all the time, people are probably not going to tune in, type of thing.
Yeah.
And says the guy that recommended a can opener. But
we
don't know how that's gone yet, but we
I think
will.
People love it. I'm excited for it.
Well, we'll see. But but I think people appreciate when you're trying to do something for them. You're trying to teach them something. I always appreciate when somebody comes up to me and says, hey, you know, you're doing this wrong, or, you know, did you know about this and whatnot? Because, hey, nobody knows everything, even me, shocker. But and I think that's just a pay it forward thing. You know, the number of people that get whatever they get out of your car, your video, you're going to get something useful, and especially like the way you do things, the safety thing. I mean, I've said that in other podcasts. That is huge, absolutely huge, because so many people don't have a father, a grandpa, a buddy, or somebody that could help them, and you really don't want anybody to get hurt.
No, I don't want anybody to get hurt or fail. You want everyone to succeed.
Right.
And, you know, it kind of is what it is. I mean, that's how it goes out there. But I had something else in my head I was going to say, and then Murr started talking. I totally forgot.
Oh, I know.
No, I got it. It's all coming back. It's all up here. The other thing.
Notes.
I should have wrote it down in size 87 font. But the other thing that you're going to get is people, I think, when you first start. Not that it's negative, but people were definitely I could do that. I heard I can do that I don't know how many times for the first year and a half or 2 years. And, you know, you go somewhere, buy a set of wheels or something like that. I'd be like, oh, yeah, you do that YouTube, eh? Yeah, I do the same thing. My friends say I should do what you do. I just don't. I don't have time, whatever. And you had this, whatever it was. I'm like, oh, yeah. You got to play it off. You can't let it get to you. And then it's like the second you, like, cross that 100,000 subscriber barrier, which is ginormous. Don't get me wrong. That's a lot of work to get there.
It took 4 years for us to get there.
It's like a light switch. People are supportive. Everywhere you go, people are supportive. Like, it's unbelievable. I mean, there's some odd people on the internet that may not agree with the way I, you know, tape headliners together or something like that.
Surprising.
But I can't believe it either. But it's like, right around that mark, it was unbelievable how people were like, oh, I could do this or I could do that or whatever
must
it is.
Must be nice.
Must be nice came out a bunch as well. Oh, must be nice you have that. Must be nice you have the... Okay. It is what it is. So, I guess that's my advice. Don't let people get you down. Power through, make it happen, just like anything.
Yep. Well, that's a kind of a universal thing. At home, I'm painting a room, so I'm repairing cracks in plaster and doing stuff like that, which is a horrible job. It's like body work on a car without the fun afterwards. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But people are forever saying, you know, I could, you know, and you get a quote on something, you know, I could do this myself, but, you know, I just don't have time. So. No, you couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, or, and I've been there. Like, I know I start with the giant can of crack filler and end up with a lot of dust on the floor. And a friend of mine that's, a professional, he did a whole basement. And when he was done, he swept it into one dustpan.
Yeah.
I'm on green garbage bag number 3.
Yeah.
So there's a little.
Well, the more you do anything, you get good at it.
It looks good on camera, but try it.
Well, I think being afraid, like being okay with failing, is a big part of it too. Because like we all make mistakes, and your mistakes are suddenly thrown out for the world to see, and like
you, forever,
like it doesn't go away.
I just got,
that throwout bearing will never leave you.
I just got the other day, well, we were talking about the, you know, a couple podcasts ago about that Chevy short box that I did or whatever.
Right.
There's a guy, you know, that just popped up on my thing, you know, why'd you do it that way? You're a hack, like whatever it was.
Yeah,
that was like 4 years ago. Like,
yeah,
I've been holding the truck. The video's been done. There's nothing to be learned from it. It's over. But this guy just was like, didn't even, like, how do you not look at the date and be like, oh, 6 years ago? Idiot. Well, yeah. Like, I'm dead. Like, anything.
Like, well, and that's just part of it, right? So for him, he was probably looking up Chevy trucks or whatever, and so the algorithm pulled that one into his views.
Yeah.
So now he's probably in there seeing it, and when you're the person putting out that content, there is a bit of, like, self-awareness and understanding that, like, not everyone is going to like you and be for you, and that's okay. Like, it's fine for that. It's fine for them. But you can't let that eat at your soul and that be why you stop doing it.
Yeah, I do forget things pretty quick. I think that's another real reason we were, quote, semi-amateur level successful.
On the other side of that, though, is I also think when people are blatantly being, like, absolutely rude and harassing and bullying, like, a line has to be drawn. And, like, those people get blocked and we're not upset about it.
Oh, yeah, you block people.
We will block people left, right, and center if they are ruining our community.
But a lot of the people, everybody you talk to, if anyone's negative, it's never in person. It's only over the internet, for one. No, we've never had one person say one thing negative in person ever that I can remember. So, whatever. Who cares what happens on the internet? Is even a real person? And then, but more importantly than that, the people that are experts or really good at the stuff or whatever, they're always the most helpful.
Well, look at
supportive.
John and Cecil. They're such a great example of that.
Yes. They are tippy top, you know, putting motors together, drag week champion, like the whole deal. And they're here, and we're setting valve lash with a razor blade because I don't have the proper tools. And he's just like, that's the way she goes,
well,
you know?
And you'll be like, oh, I didn't realize this. Like, that was dumb of me. And they're like, no, that wasn't dumb of you. You just didn't know. Like, they're very protective that, like,
but even though I do it the second
learning.
Time, I still didn't do it. They're like, okay.
All right. Now's the time. Down to Princess Isle. Get us out of the field of ages. Yeah.
I got them. They're inside. I got them sitting up. Don't worry, John. I promise. But, so, I mean, it's just you got to kind of get with it. And then do what you love. Don't try and fake it. Don't try and jump on trends. Just whatever.
Well, that's a good point. So we hear a lot of people go, the algorithm's against me. I've been blacklisted. I've been this. And there is a hard truth that everyone has to accept at one point or the other.
It's going to be what it's going to be. I'm sure, I mean, you know, will it run stuff and going to buy stuff out of, you know, junk cars. Those are all, those videos do very well. We've done a few ourselves and they all do quite well. But the expense and the time and the effort and then the quantity of vehicles you end up with, like there's this whole other side, which you don't realize. You have a wrecking yard full of cars. Mm-hmm. And even if the video, let's say it goes wild, makes $2,500. Well, if you had to have a $1,000 car, go out there, buy a battery and gas and wiring and spark plugs and all these things, you got $2,000 into this four-door pile of junk that's worth nothing to then bring home, and now you got to deal with it. Like, it's a whole can of worms.
More than meets the eye is what you're saying.
There's a lot to it. There's a lot more to it versus, and no, that being said, if that's what you're doing on a weekly basis, I say film it. But if you think, oh, I'm going to do this and be the next Will It Run guy, you know, I don't want to talk anybody off the ledge. I shouldn't even say it, but do whatever you think you want to do. But if you're in the garage,
are you able to be consistent? Is it something you're going to want to wake up and do every single day?
Yeah.
Even after like the really hard days, because consistency is a huge part of it. Like people ask how you get so much done. It's because you're out here every single day. And even after the hardest days, you come out the next day and you keep working.
Well, I still think we're, let's call it 1,000 videos deep at this point. And it's the old, you know, how do you, everyone wants to start at step 950. Well, step one sucks. Like you're in your garage, hating your life, this and that, editing it, trying to smash the keyboard together because nothing's working. You lose footage. It's all shaky. It's out of focus. And then we're on step 1,000, but I think there's probably another 25,000 steps before
we still forget to turn on the audio now and again.
Yeah, and we're on some big time here.
Sometimes we forget to charge the cameras.
Yeah, I wanted to kill Danny twice. Whatever, no big deal. Anyway, so in a roundabout thing, if you at all think about it, get out there and do it, make it happen. And the second you want to give up, if you give up, it just wasn't for you. But
and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that. But it's like anything.
I've tried like 1,000 different hobbies and I've given up. Yeah. Who cares? I'll keep trying another one.
You got to be addicted to it. Yeah. There you go. That's my rant. I'm sure that'll cause 85 more questions that I'll have to answer some other time. Well, how about this? And why didn't you do that? Well, I don't know. I come out here, turn the camera on, wear my best clothes.
Well, I think the other thing that makes it fun for you too is like you try to include like people in it so that they're part of it too, like with Murr or with me. Like you like to surround yourself with people that want to have fun with you.
Well, and that's the thing too. Man, I thought we were done with this, but we started off working on cars and now it's the cars are just kind of there, but it's the hanging out with people and meeting people and traveling and BSing around and buying and getting deals, and that is now the fun part of it.
The thrill of the chase.
It's the old drive, not the destination.
Exactly.
There just happens to be a 55 Chevy in the thing.
Yeah.
But it's that, and it's the figuring it out, or the can you do it, or challenging yourself, and being so mad you want to push the Camaro right off the lift and start again, but then you still go out there, and then it, you know, eventually it's running, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, it has those, my life is just a roller coaster of emotions.
you forget about the pain.
Chick on the way up, sometimes that's a long ride until you find, ooh, that was fun. Power tour.
Yeah.
Next one. You know, like, that's how it is. So, okay, let's talk about what you want to talk about.
I don't know what I want
what
to talk
about.
What
do you got, anything
now?
Good?
Well, I don't know. I thought this is the thing we didn't get to last week, which I was quite surprised to find out about this. We had a little discussion over dinner two weeks ago, I guess now, when you guys were for dinner, and Dan was talking about a friend that had a new car, and that's right. I mean, there's not everybody can have a new car, and not everybody has to drive old junk. But the money just blew my mind, because I sort of have it on my mind, you should be able to get, you know, kind of a pretty nice car for like $30,000.
Yeah,
and
that's not even a base model.
That's right. That's not even there. So I mean, I got the Google machine warmed up, and I looked at a 2024 Prius Prime, because that seems to be like a real popular thing for people to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And these are Canadian prices, so do your own Googling type of thing. But the price was $47,000.
For a Prius?
That's what I said. For a Prius?
But you look good driving it.
It's like...
Do you?
But like your generic... Four-door...
That's like your Pontiac Sunfire, right?
Well,
like
it's a Toyota. It's definitely...
It's a Toyota. It's
nicer
a Toyota.
Than that.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
nothing special.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good quality thing for what it is, but I just didn't fathom that it would be that much money for that type of a car. You see them running around. If you don't have an interest in it,
yep.
you know, you don't really think
but
about
most
that.
People... But that being said, people are going in just because they don't have an interest in the cars. They just go in and they need to buy
a car.
This.
Yeah,
I so, I mean, it's either your generic SUV or it's a Prius or a Honda or a whatever.
Well, that's right. You have an SUV and you have some kind of a small car that you can, you know, put the kids in, drive around, gets good gas mileage, and you have the one that you're going to take to the lake and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's not... what I would call an aspirational vehicle, you know, like, you know,
you're hurting one person who might watch this feeling.
Yeah, I know. But I mean,
the guy who has a Prius right now is going, these idiots. Yeah. Comment below.
He's writing to Elon Musk right now.
Well, I'm a grand believer in having the right vehicle for what you want to do and probably more than one.
Because really?
Shocker.
I've never heard of that. More than one vehicle.
Yeah.
What a concept. Some what about multiple of the same vehicles?
Well, that's another specific.
That really gets the
splitting
hairs, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see having, you know, a 55 Nomad and a 2-door hardtop and a wagon. I couldn't see having a Prius and a Prius Prime and a Prius station wagon. And
first generation Prius. So
but in like 60 years, would that be what the cool thing is to have?
I don't think so.
The additionals?
I don't know. You're hard-pressed to think of what today is collectible.
There's no way. A Prius Prime is not.
Yeah.
You heard it here.
Yeah.
If 60 years from now I got to eat crow, so be it.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of people. I mean, Prius is a very popular car. And... nothing wrong with that for the chosen use, not my choice, not yours, probably not yours, but you know, for a lot of people that's fine. I just was so shocked at how much
well
thing cost.
And it's not just 50 grand, it's payments, interest.
Well,
oh,
coincidentally,
how about that?
I looked at, that's the other thing that kind of blew my little mind on this thing is $47,000 translates into $807 a month for 6 years. And that
$800 a month.
Yeah, and that gives you $11,166 interest you're paying.
So it's a like it's almost a $60,000 car. It was
right.
It's 47 plus 11, so 58 grand.
Yeah.
By the time it does settle.
Yeah.
For a Prius.
For a Prius.
And then you got a.
And also 6 years. I mean, admittedly, we're not the target demographic.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people. I mean, the very smartest thing you. Could do is have a car, the longer you keep it, the cheaper it gets. But
if it's not breaking down.
If it's not
it's
breaking
on lemon,
down,
yeah.
That's right.
And which, that being said, if you are going to have a long-term one, a Toyota, a Honda, coming from a Chevy guy, I got to say, you know, odds are that Prius will probably make it 250,000 miles.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, like when you buy your underwear, you buy the real Stanfield, they seem to do a good job. You know, that's about it, But that was quite a lot of money. I was quite surprised. But
think of all the money you're going to save.
Well, that's true, if you put a million miles on it. But let's use something like, I don't know, an 88 Chevy Caprice. No, do we know anybody that has
ours?
We don't. Ours are 89.
Come on, we picked
typo.
Primo.
Yeah. So... if you needed some kind of transportation-type car, if you were to buy an older car in good shape, which that one is, they made a zillion billion of them, and most of them are banged and rusted and 100 million miles on them, but there's just so many of them, you're going to find the one that was driven by the little old lady or the... you know, guy that doesn't drive it, or grandpa's car, doesn't want to get rid of it, but he hasn't driven it in 8 years.
But that being
years.
Said, so that car right there, we've seen a few of them now. I mean, so that car, it's an 89 with 60,000 kilometers on it, I think.
Yeah.
So 40,000 miles.
That's which is amazing.
Like,
but
it's next to nothing. It was the classic, drove it, didn't drive in the wintertime, this and that. then the last few years I'm getting kind of sat outside, had a few issues, and became kind of not... You can't take it to your local Meineke to get fixed, though. Yeah. I mean, if it's troubleshooting problems.
Yeah.
So there was that early fuel injection, but anyways, I think we paid $3,000 for that thing, or $2,500. It got... It came with shocks and a bunch of stuff. I put front brakes on it.
We did have to drive 7 hours to get it.
It was a day of driving. It was a long day back and forth. We did that. But $250 in fuel.
Yeah.
But we did front brakes, have put a distributor in it, and a set of tires. So, like, we don't have $5,000 in that thing. And now you got a 40,000-mile car, fuel injected. It's actually decent on fuel. It's overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's perfect.
I drive it to work downtown every single day.
So... really no issues. And then I was going to say, but before that, I mean, it's going back a little while now, but Grandma's car, which I drove for a little bit and all that,
yeah.
And you had for, which was an 84,
four.
Yeah. Four-door Cutlass.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, 305, nothing special, carbureted still though, right?
That's yeah.
But it was fine, and honestly, that car was same thing, super low miles.
Yeah.
But that was the classic, you know, you had the conundrum of, well, what are you doing with this thing? Like, it's low mile. It started at a few little, well, just like the Caprice, a couple of door dings and stuff like that as the elderly.
Yeah, as grandma.
Sometimes they hit a pole and break the front lights.
Sometimes you got to drive by feel. That's what happens.
Listen, I don't understand where these curbs keep coming from.
But anyway, so that thing, you ended up selling it to who knows who, and I'm sure you got... you know, beaten, and I'm sure it was $2,000, $2,500 for him to get out of it. Like, you know, now those cars are now coming around as valuable in a different way.
Yeah.
But you can still find really low mileage. I mean, I don't know. The Topaz, the Tempos, the Cavaliers, they're out there.
Yeah, and if something really catastrophic goes, you're taking a chance. You could fix. I mean, if you assume you can't fix it yourself, well, you just roll the dice.
But I still think, like, on that Caprice of Danny's, if the thing yaks a rod, I bet a $2,500 reman, and you got a brand new 305 short block in there.
Or $500 from a wrecker.
Yes.
And $500 to have somebody put it in. Yeah.
But the Toyota Prius that's 5 years old, one day out of warranty, and yaks a battery,
yeah,
it's probably $10,000.
Well, more than that, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And without it, it's junk, garbage.
Yeah. Undrivable, unusable, and all that stuff. Yeah.
A paperweight.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you factor in the excess fuel, I like. Do you have the insurance number?
I have the insurance number.
Oh, mer. What are the odds?
So I just did the base insurance coverage, but the 88 Caprice charges $878 for insurance.
Which I will say, because of my pristine driving record, I get 30% off.
Which is. Shopping.
So it's that car is $650
yeah.
to insure with good coverage, like $10 million liability, like all those things.
Yeah, which is dart cheap. And you know, your Prius, should you buy one of them, $2,727 a year, and an extra $231 for buyer protection, because if you drive it off the showroom and a clown in an 88 Caprice tender punches you, you've lost that 20% right away, and they're not paying for that. So that's
So it's $2,000 difference per year in insurance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, someone can do the math in the comments there, but that's a lot of fuel you got to burn.
That's a lot of fuel you got to burn to take that up.
Like $2,000, I mean, I don't know what that Caprice gets, but it's got to get, it's got to knock on the door at 20 miles to the gallon or something like that.
On the highway, you'd probably get that, I think.
So, I mean, I don't know what a Prius gets, 40, 50, 60? I don't know. I have no idea.
There's lots of complications involved. And, you know, and Lord knows we're not suggesting everybody look for an 88 Chevy to drive instead of a new Prius.
I think you should.
But it's something to consider when people use rationalization that, you know, maybe their car that's a 2010. Well, you know, I'll get the new 2024. Yeah. It'll get better mileage and do this and that. Well, you do the math. Boy, that's...
Well, that's going to become where guys have their 10-year-old truck, let's say. It's paid off and this and that. Oh, it's, you know, needs a little bit of work. And maybe, it's a little bit of rust around the wheel wells or something like that. And, you know, needs some maintenance. I mean, if you're trained, though, the new one looks nice.
Yeah.
But if you threw $5,000 or $10,000 at the old truck and had a guy go through it front to back...
Yeah.
It'd be a good truck again for another 10 years. Or, I mean, a new truck's got to be 70 for any sort of...
I can't imagine, anything.
Yeah. Like, I don't think you're getting even a truck for 50 grand now. Like, a stripper model, regular cab, six cylinders, probably that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's. And then if you want anything whiz bang.
Like a BMW.
Like a BMW, yeah.
What kind of jackass
would drive a BMW?
Would drive a Beamer.
Yeah. Now, having said that, as you get along in years, you know, you have the things that you want.
You can't take it with you.
You can't take it with you, and you're not getting it.
Speaking of getting along in years, we sponsored podcast.
Okay.
This is what's putting fuel in Danny's super inefficient Caprice. Blue Chew.
Steve.
So this episode, he's really whacking his tail.
I know.
We got issues here.
You guys keep stop petting him.
Well, he's yeah.
Protect him.
Give him a bad dog. He'll stop wagging his tail. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were ready to go? Hey, Steve, you remember those days? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in a chewable tablet. You don't even got to wrap it in meat or cheese for the dogs, you know? Take it anytime, day or night. You can plan ahead or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. The best part, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. When you do order it, it comes in a nondiscreet package. No one has to know. And don't be embarrassed about it.
Well, and when you sign up at Blue Chew, you get to consult with one of their licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days.
Oh, that's good to know, Danny. What else we got going on here? Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. I just like their...
Walk around the house all the time. Chew it. And do it.
Danny's like, we got it for the podcast. I'm like, oh, chew and do it time. And weird thing to say with my father and girlfriend. But now the deal is, we got a special deal for you listeners. Try Blue Chew for free. That's right, for free. And use promo code DDSS at checkout. Just pay $5 in shipping. Go to BlueChew.com, promo code DDSS. Receive your first month for free, BlueChew.com. More details and important safety information on the website. And again, thank you so much to Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast, and hopefully many more, because honestly, they're just good guys to deal with. And you know what? If you got to use it, you have your options out there, but if you use that one, they support us, so you're basically, your way of supporting us is going to BlueChew.com. What a weird thing to say, but thank you so much.
There's nothing wrong with that, y'all.
Everybody needs it.
We all need a little help from our little friends sometimes.
All right, where else you got there? quick gear change.
Well, quick change.
First to reverse.
Well, just the last part of that little thing.
Oh, we're back on insurance.
Okay. Well, while I was looking at stuff on there, on the old website, in Canada where we are, and I guess parts of the northern U.S., people use a thing called a block heater, which... Oh. You used to have to plug into your car so it would start when it was minus 40. Minus 40 Fahrenheit and Celsius, they're the
both
same.
Terrible.
Both
equally
awful.
As bad.
Yeah. So that was a common thing. But all around about 1985 when they came out with fuel injection, cars started to start pretty easy. But whatever. Some cars still have those things. So a Chevy 305 block heater available in any store, kind of around $42, and install to put it in wouldn't take you half an hour, so I mean $50 maybe. So on the website, all the Canadian, and I don't know about northern US, but Canadian and cold climate Priuses come with a mandatory option of a block heater. Well, how much could a block heater cost, Dan?
I bet it's 10 times the number you just said.
$200.
$506. And it must be some kind of special block heater.
It's a small block Chevy block heater. Right in there.
I don't know. So add another $500 to your $47,000. I don't know. Things that just surprised me. Because, like, I mean, I always like to think I have an idea of how much stuff approximately should cost. And I was very shocked at that. So
that is not cheap.
That is not cheap.
And I will say, Danny's 89 Caprice, fuel injected, started...
I didn't plug it in once.
Didn't plug it in once. That just has regular... The thing we didn't get into, actually, is service. which is a whole other thing. That thing has the cheapest dinosaur oil you can buy in it, 5W30, which is getting hard to find.
Why aren't you spending the money on me?
Because you bang into poles.
I mean, fair.
But that thing has the cheapest $60 oil change with, you know, your generic Wix, you know, decent brand filter. I'm sure the Prius is 0W3 oil, which is basically water, which I'm sure is a fortune and only, you know, from three places, and it's $150 for the oil change.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's just a difference in what people are going to spend their money on. And nothing wrong with having a brand new car, but just maybe do a little bit of calculating how much you're saving driving your old car. And I mean, if you really want a brand new car, that's fine.
Well, if you want it, if your dream is to have a Prius, then go get one.
Or if you don't know anything about anything, like, I'd have to buy a brand new car that had, like, warranty and stuff like that if I was on my own, because I don't know.
There is that. Unfortunately, you can't get a warranty on an 89 Caprice.
That's
so true. If it does take a crap, you're now at the mercy of, hopefully you know someone that can look after it, or you have to go to, you know, a mechanic. And at that point, I got to think now, I mean, that car in 89... So anybody who was working on that in, like, the peak of their career has long since retired or possibly underground. So all the things that screw up on that are common and you know now, and, like, that information has been lost.
Fortunately, if there was a thing called YouTube,
you
could actually Google and find the YouTube videos on all these sort of the things, because that's where you're going to find
And that kind of is, I think, the magic number. I mean, probably by 95 or something like that. But in that is, like, the last, I think, era where you could legitimately YouTube almost any single thing on that car. And maybe it's not for 89 Caprice, but it's a 84 Cutlass. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to do a ball joint or whatever is the same. Like, it's the same. Mm-hmm. But I can only imagine now, if you had to Google how to do something on a 2019 electrical problem of whatever, you know, it's, you hear those stories of those, like a new F-150, the taillight doesn't work, and it's the modules under the seat that got wet because the, you know, the sun leaked.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's $5,000, and someone has to diagnose it, versus, I need an 1157 light bulb.
there is a few downsides. The modern electronics is wonderful, but you can have that situation, like you say, like, it won't start. Well, why? Because it thinks the door's open. The door's not open.
Yeah.
No, it won't start. But close the door. The door's closed. It won't start. Like, that's the type of thing. And that is can be very tricky.
Well, and I think there's a trade to that, because a lot of people, you know, all the stuff I've done, we've messed with some fuel injector, we've done some LS swaps and all that. But my favorite is still a small block Chevy with a carburetor and an HEI. And the old thing, and I always say, people are like, oh, you know, do this and mileage and easy starting and this. And I think fuel injection is 10 out of 10 better across the board until you're having a problem. A carburetor will run poorly and get you home. As I learned with fuel injection, it will either work or 100% not.
Mm-hmm.
And we were driving the 57 there a couple weeks ago, and just the battery terminal and the negative was loose or whatever it was, and the thing just died in traffic. Right on Bishop. And I'm like, oh, great. Busy road. And I pop the hood. I'm like, well, and it's just like, blah, 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 dead. It. You know, it's like wiggling the thing, and all of a sudden you hear the fan kick back on. I go, okay, well, it's clearly, it fires up when we go. But, I mean, it didn't like it. It had a moment.
Well, that is unfortunate that these things do happen. And it's nice to be able to fix stuff. Like, the big thing came with, you know, in the early 70s, electronic ignition. That cured...
Sure,
50-60% of the no starts, because, you know, when HEI came out, oh boy, am I old now, that was a new thing, and you learned all about what 80,000 volts will do when you stick your finger where it shouldn't.
You feel it.
Boy, that's smart. But that made a big night and day difference in terms of tow-ins and no starts and stuff like that. Carburetors, really, as long as you buy some decent fuel and change your fuel filter, it's going to probably go.
The thing with carburetors, I think, now is just either running it so it's cut newer fuel through it, or, like, stable or, you know, whatever stuff in the tank. Unfortunately, you got to do that, or you buy fancy gas. But if you just put 89 or whatever octane in there, let it sit for 3 years, you're going to have a problem.
That's right.
What else you got? What else? I brought nothing today.
You got nothing.
Well, you did talk about YouTube for 20 minutes.
YouTube and Blue Chew, I gotta
say. There you go.
I brought a lot to the table.
Did, right?
I made the money and YouTube and all that stuff. Danny did have a couple of questions, which I know because we put a thing out on Facebook.
Yeah.
So if you don't follow us on Facebook, you can go there, and that's the easiest place for us to kind of communicate and go back and forth and read comments and stuff like that. We actually want to get back on that and sharing viewers' vehicles and stuff like that. Do you have a couple of comments off the bat?
I do.
Or do you want to get to your thing?
Well, we'll do this since I did bring this before, and you know, wasn't thinking I should have talked about this when we were talking about Blue Chew, because this is what I call shrinkage.
There it is. Holy, what an awkward thing.
Here we have, camera lady, have you got these in frame?
They are in frame.
Zomer has two jugs of, what is it, car wash and wax.
Yeah, which is just generic car wash stuff. That's what I use to just clean the cars and, you know, on a weekly basis sort of thing.
And you're brand loyal, obviously. And, Turtle Wax.
Yeah,
not
Turtle
sponsored,
Wax.
But that's obviously what he likes. He bought two jugs.
Been using it for many, many years, type of thing. So, Steve, sorry. So, it was on sale at the local parts store. So, I was in there getting something else, so I picked it up and, okay, put it in the car. So, when I got home, I looked and said, this seems a little different. Looks the same. Well, it isn't really the same, because if you do this, it's way thinner. Can you see that, Danny?
Yes.
Yes. So, the old one had 128 fluid ounces, 1 gallon, 3.78 liters. The new one has 2.95 liters. So
they skewed you, like, by 25%?
By 8-tenths of a liter, yeah. And that's shrinkage. That is really annoying. Steve, you're not very helpful.
He's not happy with it either.
Unfortunately, I think that just takes advantage of, you know, brand loyal consumers.
If you know what? These are dated. This one says 01/03/22, so it's only a couple years old.
Yeah.
And this one says 13/12/23.
Yeah.
So in the matter of a year,
yeah,
they've dramatically changed. But was it the same price, or was it cheaper, or you don't know?
This was slightly cheaper because I thought that's why I bought it, but only slightly. Normally, instead of being $17, it was $15.40 or something like that. So
he's not happy about shrinkflation.
He doesn't like it. So I think that's very annoying.
Well, I mean, a Big Mac ain't a Big Mac anymore. Well, I mean, the size of a Big Mac when you were 18 must have just been, could you even finish it?
I know.
I swear. Like, bag fries and everything must have just been unbelievable. Like, well, and for 39 cents, you were probably just full.
A Big Mac was a two-handed deal.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. Now it's like, okay.
It's like a sampler. A slider Mac, I like to call them. Yeah.
Exactly.
But yet you still feel like you can't go to the drive-thru less than 35. $5.
It is the cheapest place to, you know, to eat is still really expensive. And for people that have, you know, a couple of kids, you used to be able to just go to McDonald's, it'll be fine, and what could it cost? Well, by gosh, that's a significant amount of money now for something like that. So I don't know. I think my plan is to
carry on buying it.
Carry on buying
it. And complain about it here.
You got it.
What really grinds worse gears?
Well,
find out next week.
Yeah, you did say I could do whatever I want.
So, I created a monster.
And when I'm talking, you're not. So there you go.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. So if they have a pretty simple calculation of so much per ounce, whatever, you could at least have an idea of how to compare. So actually, the nice people in France, they have a law that I don't know if it's enacted yet, but exactly about this, they are making it law that they have to have in your grocery store 2 months advance notice if they're changing their packaging to something that is not very obvious.
I saw, did you see that Loblaw? I mean, totally off topic here, but Loblaws, they're just reported a 10 or 15% increase in profits
Something
like that.
Yes.
Galen Weston, such a handsome man, but such a jerk.
They're trying to help us out by screwing us.
Well, and that, I mean, talking about shrinkflation, this isn't cars, but like groceries and stuff.
It's,
like,
everything's a fortune.
It's unreal, even. And like initially they kind of did try to play it off. Well, just the packaging itself is thinner. It's still the same amount of product. But then you realize, well, the thinner packaging can't hold the same amount of product because it will explode your product everywhere.
Well, and you know, there's one thing I will say. Amazon, as much as, you know, say what you will about there, it always has in there what the cost is per 100 grams whatever.
Yeah.
And it makes it very easy to compare apples to apples. You're not going, because it's a picture, and the picture isn't always what you get. Like, well, that looks great, and it shows up in a nondescript, you know, cardboard box with Chinese writing on it. But whatever, but you can actually look, and it's, you know, compare, if you wanted to go any of the things, you know, whatever it is, you want your gummy bears, it's X number of cents per 100 grams or whatever. You can kind of carry on and compare it and go, oh, that's a good deal, and you go, oh, no, it's terrible.
Yeah. Or they change the number of things, like the next thing, and shall I carry on ranting?
By all means.
Okay.
We have 20 minutes.
We have 20 minutes.
Is that enough time?
So you go to the you know, the drugstore, and you buy some ice cream bars, and that, as one is wont to do when it finally gets above zero in this fine country. So I come home, and now we got a package of five instead of a package of six. So that means I got to arm wrestle your mom for the last one, or buy two packages so we'd have 10 divided by two. Now, I don't know. Is that a conspiracy? I think so.
You know what that is? Do you guys, I mean, you had boys, so you might not have ever seen this movie, but The Father of the Bride with Steve Martin, and there's a whole scene in it. He's buying hot dogs. And it's the package of amount of hot dogs versus hot dog buns. And so he rips open the hot dog bun package. He's like, I don't need like these four because there's only six in a package. And then the store clerk comes up to him and is like, sir, you can't do that. He's like, well, why aren't you selling equal packages?
The retired life sounds hard.
I know. Well,
you know.
But it is true. Like, it is annoying that if, especially, like, we're only two people, so if something is a package of three or it's a pack, like, an odd number
it's
package.
It's never a problem for me, because I know I get that one.
Yeah.
It's a good system we have here.
Because she never knows it's there, because if you open it up and there's five in it, you eat one on
the way home.
And, didn't we used to have more of these? Not really.
It was discounted.
It was discounted. Special deal.
Okay, let's read a few questions here on the way out the door.
Okay, so this one is from Mud.
Oh, sounds like a talented
like
individual.
The name, Mud. Mer, what are your top five dream cars?
Oh,
we don't have all day.
Well, I'd like me a new Corvette. Never had a Corvette.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a mid-engine?
The new one, yeah.
Oh.
I'm old now.
I've lost so much respect.
Oh.
Well, maybe if we, you know, Blue Chew really takes off.
Yeah,
well,
I guess. You can see what you can.
We'll get you a blue one.
Promo code DDSS.
We're trying to buy Murder Corvette.
It'll be my company car.
Can we just rent one? The company car?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm not getting paid. I must get something.
Neither are we. Corvette. Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
I just think everybody should have a Corvette. Never driven the new one?
I think everybody does have a Corvette. Well, when I go out there, that's all I see is Corvettes.
And Camaros.
Yeah, not a Camaro guy. No,
so Corvette.
Corvette. BMW convertibles. I like those. That's a nice unit. Ferrari California. That's not the expensive one, but I happen to like the way they look.
Yeah. The V8
the convertible. Yeah, the convertible.
They're kind of neat looking.
They're nice looking thing. Yeah, I think probably a G-Wagon Mercedes, because we live in the north and you have to have a four-wheel drive, and then some other kind of a, you know, classic sort of a thing. I don't know, maybe one of these.
Oh,
or
I could give you a deal.
Get a deal. Some kind of a classic like that, or maybe like a Jag E type. Like from the 60s, those are
nice.
hard to say no to those.
Yeah.
But, so I just choose one and DDSS will pay for it?
Yes, exactly. we're working on it. Wow, that was not the list I was expecting you to have.
So what's your list then?
Well, my list changes daily, but...
What is it today?
I want a 70 Chevelle real bad.
Yeah,
because you don't fit in the Camaro?
I put these honky tonkin seats in the Camaro there, those ones I blow back, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I don't fit in that car. I made custom brackets. The back of the seat is touching the back seat,
and
I can't shift it. Like, it's driving the Cobra.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, this is terrible. All the way in. Oh, like, I should have sat in one of those before I bought two. Lesson learned.
Well, let's drop down the Toyota dealer, see if you fit in the
Prius.
Yeah,
I probably would. And then that, so if, like, from an old car, that's what I'm looking for right now. But, I mean, that being said, anything pops up on Facebook tomorrow, there's a good chance I'm going to look at it if I think it's neat. And for a newer car, I want a Hellcat, just because I just love the, let's cram as much horsepower into a car of whatever and just drive it.
Because you can.
But I think I would lose interest in that immediately.
Yeah.
I think I'd burn a set of tires on it and pay the policeman two or three times and go, okay, yeah. Enough of this. But that's all I would
need. But you do have to have something new at least once. Like, I know economically it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, I bought my new Golf R in 17 because I wanted one forever, and I got it the color I wanted. It was a 6-speed, all the stuff I wanted. And that was fun. It was great to have, but you don't do anything to it. You just drive it.
But even that, I mean, I think if you're, and this is maybe another kind of side quest here, but if you buy your generic four-door Toyota, there's a bazillion out there. But that one, you had the nice paint you wanted, and it was a stick and these things. And when you sold it, you did okay. You didn't make money.
No, I did, actually sold it, and COVID did really well. So, I mean, it really cost me $8,000 to drive the thing for 4 years. So I thought that was a pretty good deal.
That's fine. And I think the same thing, I mean, even a Hellcat. I mean, maybe buy them brand new, but like because I watched the prices, it's not like they're damn near 10 years old now. They got to be. And they're still... Yeah. $60,000 or $70,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you buy kind of smart, I mean, especially I think if you're buying anything, buy it as a stick or whatever like that. I think that's going to hold value better than an automatic. And obviously, you know,
really,
because they're rarer. I think like.
But I feel like people don't know how to drive manual.
Which is why they're rarer and worth more money.
But I mean, like, you can go to the dealership, and I mean, like a Challenger versus a Hellcat Challenger or a regular, you can go buy your generic white, 6-cylinder, automatic, nothing Challenger. And there's a bazillion of those. And they'll be worth nothing at some point, or already are. But the Hellcat that was sold the same day, same year, but Hellcat with a 6-speed, or whatever they are, I assume 6-speed, that'll be, I think, hold its value way, way better. Even though, at time of purchase, I'm sure there's a difference, but... The graph is like, oh, you buy them brand new, and the 6-cylinder one is like unbelievable. Yeah. So, but be smart about it. That was technical. That's
Speechomonomics. Somebody's paying a 20% hit as soon as it goes off the showroom floor and whatnot. So if you choose correctly, you can actually do more than that. If you buy the right choice, you get one that's older, and maybe it'll just keep going up. You know.
There you go. What else you got for us?
Jim would like to know, Jimbo. Exhaust sounds, pros and cons.
What's the con? I mean, buy a V8 and you're good.
That's the miracle of modern electronics. You can just decide if you have it nice and quiet because you're driving on the highway and you're commuting, or you can flip the little switch and
there you go. I gotta say, your BMW there was loud when you fired up, when I was unloading the bike there the other day.
It
was too loud.
Oh, Grandpa!
damn kids!
Like, what is this thing?
It's so electronically.
Sport exhaust.
It's sport exhaust. Well, no, it opens up loud when it's cold. Warms up the cat faster, so it can go on to closed loop. So it's the emission thing, and it's fun. I mean, that's not
because you can kind of fool here. Yeah, it's better for the environment to be loud. I'm going to use that one too. Headers are better for fuel mileage. Yeah.
And it does, you know, shut off after it runs for a minute or so.
Yeah.
Everything closes, that's fine. But you can also turn that back on by just switching it to the sport mode. So you can have the choice of the sound you want, which is great.
I have to change cars for that. I want a quiet car. I'll take
you,
this
Well,
one.
You had electronic
they screwed up.
Muff on something, yeah? Well.
That'll happen.
That'll happen on those big jobs.
Mm.
So, Murr, folks are very curious about you and your life before being retired. What jobs has Murr had? How did he get so much wisdom?
Oh, I'm just that
born
guy.
With it.
Yeah, born with something.
Each hair that came out was one more wisdom.
There's been a fair few questions about when the hair lost out, but I didn't think I'd ask those.
He's licking his foot. Give him a kick.
No kick, just pets.
Started off when I finished the high school, I got a manufacturing job because at the time they were paying a lot of money. And I lasted a whole 3 weeks doing a repetitive, high-paid, boring, turn your brain to goo job before I said, no, I'm not doing that. And from that, I went and I worked for Canadian Tire for a while as a part-timer and things like that. But I did go to school, get my apprenticeship, and my brother-in-law managed to get me two things in my life. One of which was Dan's mom. And he was working on a car and a Volvo, and I got a job through him for Volvo. So I walked across the property line to help him out, and because I couldn't stand him, you know, the third time you put the water pump on, it was still leaking. I couldn't stand it. So I went over there and did that, and then got a Volvo and got married. How about that? All
wow. So, yeah. Talk about living the dream.
Yeah.
Top five and, things.
Fortunately, in that era, Volvo was one of the first things to go into. Fuel injection, four-wheel disc brakes, a lot of stuff that other cars didn't have. So it was interesting at a time when people in the general trade were going, trust these here electronic ignitions. I don't know if they're going to last and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I had a basis of that and like to learn about things like that, but worked for a kind of a family-run dealership. And you got to a certain point, if you weren't marrying one of the daughters that were all taken, then you're done. So I went in and took my education and started teaching auto mechanics. And that's what I did for the next 30 years. And it was a really rewarding job, sometimes frustrating, but, you know, it's good to help. I like to help people, like to instruct knowledge. He got a bit of that.
They
can select.
I chose what I wanted.
A lot of people asked if, like, Dan was one of your students. You taught at a school on the opposite side of the side of the city from where Dan was.
Yeah, there's a couple of threats I had to go there every now and again if I didn't do so good. But.
Yeah. So that's
he meant to dodge them bullets.
The short story, yeah.
And the last 10 years have been the best, though.
The retirement years is the 10 years have been good. I mean, I had a really good job. I enjoyed my job as much as a job can be. But as Dan said, it's a job. It's not called happy, happy fun time.
That's very true.
You have to put up with that stuff. Whereas the retirement thing is getting close to happy, happy fun time. So
you do whatever you want every day.
Yeah, well, I'm
sometimes the pants are on.
Yeah.
Sometimes the pants are off. No, you always got to give a call before you show up at their house.
You can't be too careful.
Well, and I appreciate you carving out an hour for me once a week.
That's right.
And you're busy
well,
guy.
I got to make myself useful so I get my company a car.
Well, you know what? A 2020 Corvette will be affordable one of these days.
One of these days, yeah.
I always said that. It might be 30 years old. We'll get you one.
Yeah, if I live to 106,
it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Well, this will be the last question, just looking at the time here.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa would like to know, and this is actually a very popular question we get often, is what shampoo and conditioner does Dan use?
Herbal essences. Why do you gotta make me say it out loud?
Tell them the kind.
I like the
Color Me Happy,
yeah,
because it's pink.
Yeah, I like the pink one.
And then the volumizing conditioner.
It's nice for detangling. Wow, this is beat up Dan. I'm really, that's the question we're ending this on? There's not something that we can look smart about?
Yeah, my friend Lisa wrote it in.
Oh, that Lisa. I got a question for
her. Well, I have to say my feeling is a little hurt that they didn't want to know.
Well, what kind of shampoo do you use for your
Marcel.
Mustache?
Whatever's on sale at the store.
All right. Well, that's where we're going to end it. Thank you so much for watching. Please leave a comment below. Go to Facebook. That's where you can find all sorts of stuff out. Subscribe if you haven't already. And Murr always likes to hear he's doing a good job. You know,
well,
so
yeah. It's
support a senior.
Yeah, comment. Write something down. You know, this is dumb. This is stupid. This is a good idea. Because I don't know. I have no frame of reference because he has no rules. I mean, we'll just wait. I'm keen to see next week how the can opener video does, because that will set this on a whole new course.
Oh, I'm excited.
Well, and that is, maybe we'll just make a quick editor's note here too, that we are going to Mondays now from Sundays.
Oh, yeah, it's going on Mondays.
So if you're wondering why it's a day late, it's actually on time.
There you go. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.